Hi, everyone. Welcome to Appliance Advisors with Yale Appliance. I'm Francesco, joined as always by Dennis McDonald. How's it going this week, Dennis?
It's going great, friend. Going great. It's appliances, man. It's always great.
It's always great and exciting in the appliance industry, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So, a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
So last week, we took a ton of questions, and we had a lot of really good listener engagement, and you guys really gave us a ton of really good questions, and we got to as many as possible. And there was still a lot that we didn't get to and more that came in after the show. So this week, we're going to kind of do a little bit of the same and kind of get through all those questions and kind of a lot of different topics and things like that. Because, again, last week, we had a lot of really great engagement. Of course, this week, we'd love to get more questions for you. As you have them, type them up. We're going to try to get to as many questions as possible. This week, too, Dennis, you know, we had a really good week here at Yale. And one of the things that we were kind of excited to share is that we had a really nice visit this week from some of the senior leadership at LG. And, you know, it was really good to kind of talk to them and hear from them and kind of talk about what they see in the appliance industry and some of, you know, really LG, we always talk about being such a really forward thinking company and coming out with so much great technology constantly and always innovating. So it was really great to hear from them and their senior leadership, you know, what's coming down the pike, what they see for the industry and talk about specifically some new products they had. And, you know, it's funny because they had, you know, they pulsed us and really had some really good questions for us as well. And, you know, being the appliance expert, Dennis, I think they kind of stumped you a little bit on one of the questions specifically when it comes to refrigeration. And, you know, we kind of teased this product a little bit. You had talked about last week how you, you know, you had gone to the brand store show in Dallas. You saw all these new products that are coming out. And one of them was this really cool idea of not idea, really cool product of a 27 cubic foot counter depth refrigerator. So I'm going to toss it to you. Talk a little bit about what that question was that was posed to you, because really kind of did leave us a little stumped for sure.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough to sit with Sam Kim and Randy Warner and some of the leadership. Sam's the president of LG USA for the appliance side of the business. And we were able to sit with him and we talked about the piece that I was already excited about. I was fortunate enough to see them down at the show with Brand Source, and we got to see that look of a 27 cubic foot counter depth refrigerator, and it stuck out to me because the industry average is 20. There's a few that are 22, but really a large part it's 20 to 22. But I'd say 20 is probably the running average for a counter depth refrigerator, and that was really cool, you know, and. Mr. Kim kept asking me a different way. He kept saying, well, if I've given you a 27 cubic foot refrigerator now, that's counter depth. And remember, we talk about counter depth in a lot of these appliance advisor segments where that just means that the unit is really, the body is flush with your cabinet. So you just see the little bit of the door sticking out. So it gives you that really clean look and feel. And we know we put islands in kitchens all day long. So to have a nice tight walkway and a real linear clean design, people would love that. Mm-hmm. But we're Americans and we want more space always. Yeah. So we pick these full depth refrigerators sometimes, these really deep, deep, deep fridges. And when we do that, guess what the standard size for most full depth refrigerators are? 25 to 27. Yeah. Okay. And Mr. Kim's question to me was, why would anyone not buy a counter depth refrigerator if we figured out a way to make a 27 cubic foot version? It has all the capacity of a full depth and all the benefit of a counter depth. And that was, you know, obviously I thought about that, but his next point was, how do we show the American customer what that additional space looks like? How do we drive this thing home? Because it's really innovative and new. And they were able to do that with some really new ways of insulating the refrigerator to get more interior space. They offer it in a 27 cubic foot version where the ice and water is inside the unit. So the ice maker's down below and the dispenser would be on the inside left of the refrigerator. And then they offer, if you're really an ice and water person, a 26 cubic foot version, the same thing, where they give you the ice and water in the door. So really they've either way trumped all the sizes and got, and I was stumped. I mean, I really said, yeah. I don't know. I mean, in Boston, certainly we sell a lot of counter-depth refrigerators. And honestly, I always tell people that a counter-depth refrigerator is probably the one thing I can recommend to customers that will quickly make your kitchen, whether you're doing standard cabinets and on a budget and trying to be very cost conscious, or doing a more custom kitchen, but a counter-depth refrigerator can make any kitchen seem much more high-end and built-in for really not any more cost. The trade-off was always you may lose a little bit of space, mm-hmm. but now LG and Mr. Kim have come up with this solution, and I'm kind of stumped as to why anyone would want to. And I don't have a great answer. I guess I would ask the customers. I can't imagine why they would, because when you think about a full-depth refrigerator, the ones that are normally deeper, we all know as people that have used those that food is stuck in the back. It gets buried. So this counter depth is still very accessible and fits a ton of space. Gail Boozer asks, will it accommodate platters or larger sheet pans? 100%. 100%. I would tell you that a current counter depth could fit them, but this is almost 7 cubic foot bigger than a standard counter depth. So absolutely it would. So, and it keeps the food to the front. There would be no reason. I mean, I think as Americans, bigger is better. We want size, right? We think of the Thanksgiving holiday. We think of, oh, well, you know, I have a big family and I need more space, more. It's just how we're wired. European countries generally have more compact, cleaner, more linear kitchen, a lot of times just for space restriction. But as Americans, we want bigger. Well, we've done both here with this fridge. And the cool part is it's coming out in LG and it'll come out at a very reasonable price point. And I'm super excited to see the line you've heard us talk about, LG Studio, which is this great new line they're developing. And I think they're going to offer some new refrigeration, where the refrigeration today is great. Refrigeration today has a glass door, a door-in-door, what they call glass door style refrigerator. They're going to make one, if you don't like the glass, that has stainless steel. And they're going to make two sizes. They're going to make this much bigger, deeper, not even deeper, but just physically larger interiorly refrigerator with this new technology in the studio line as well. So you're going to have an entry price point that's very affordable, well-designed, that you could have. And if you wanted to step it up into the studio collection, have it as an offering there. I still don't have a great answer for them. I mean, I guess I would say everyone probably should. I think it was a trick question. I think he was trying to trick me. It makes no sense.
Yeah. And I can attest to it. You know, we have a full depth fridge. You know, we have a family of five. And it was one of those things you're always like, well, you know, you got to have the bigger fridge. We have so much food. We go through it all. But it's like, you're right. I mean, the stuff gets lost. It's in the back. You don't even know what's there half the time. And if you can have that same space in a counter depth, because, you know, it's a lot more organized. Like you said, it's pushed to the front. It's way more visual. You can organize it way better and actually have that same cubic footage, but actually know what's in the fridge and not have food get wasted. I can't even tell you how much times we throw away food because you don't even remember it's there because you can't even see it half the time.
Yeah, it's true. And really, following up Gail's question, the next follow-up question was, he goes, how could we display this in a way that a customer could visually see it? And he challenged me there. And I just actually pushed him a drawing of a concept that I think, but you know, I go back to the old adage of like an American consumer, we all like pizza, or at least I hope I speak for everyone because I really like pizza, right? And I thought to Gail's point, because, you know, we want to see what will fit, and we can all imagine a pizza fitting in a fridge. We know that big box sometimes is really hard to fit in. So I had this concept of, could we show how many more pizzas we would fit with 7 additional cubic feet? Mm-hmm. Of a counter-depth refrigerator stacked up right next to the fridge in kind of a cool way with a running loop. But yep. Mr. Kim may not like that idea, but it was just what I had. But to Gail's point, I am going to figure that out because I do like pizza, and maybe I'll get the fridge if it's going to hold a lot more pizzas for my family, or those taller, bigger platters and things that she asked, because it's a great question.
We'll always take more pizzas. And then, you know, we are the appliance advisors here, but again, we'll definitely throw it back to you. We'd love to hear your answers too and see, you know, why would you prefer a full, if all things equal, size is equal, what are the reasons you would prefer a full depth, deeper fridge than a counter depth fridge? So we'd love to hear your answers there too.
Yeah. Would you pick this fridge if it was you? Yeah. And you know, everything else about it you like, would this make sense? It was just really a cool question.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to, we'll take a step off of that for one quick second. We'll go to Vito Po. Please expound on the difference between, and this is a big question Vito's asking me here, but there's a lot to it. Please expound the difference between Blomberg Beko, LG AEG, Bosch Siemens, Zanussi GE, and Speed Queen in terms of cleaning results of washing clothes. Vito, probably 50% of the washing machines you buy are made by varying manufacturers, not with the name on the door, at a factory somewhere. Blomberg Beko, you know, same company owned by the Arçelik company, is a parent. Great laundry. We sell Beko because throughout their whole line, Beko is a slight step up in quality, longer warranties with it. Those would be reasons. We've had great success with Beko laundry. We've been selling it now for a few years. Mm-hmm. Washability is great. They make the only vented compact set of laundry. And we should really articulate for Vito. I'm suspecting maybe Vito's not in the country and maybe outside of the country with some of the names here. But you know, these are compact sets of laundry you're asking about. You know, I, if you ask me as a purist to laundry, the best washing compact set of laundry, it's Miele. And you didn't ask about Miele. And I say that simply for the fact of its temperature accuracy and, the way the honeycomb drum is designed, it just, it's speed, fluctuations. It's really pretty amazing. It's true laundry care in a drum. I mean, you can wash cashmere, silk, wool. You can't do that with most of these other brands. They may do one, but not all. They have auto dispense systems. So I think that's probably the best. Speed Queen, I don't really think about it at all. I mean, I don't. To be in that same conversation. And honestly, their front load laundry isn't compact. It's full size. On the commercial side is different. So Vito, you and I could probably go crazy. It sounds like you have some real specific reasons why you're asking these, and I can take it offline and answer any questions you have. But you know, if you're asking me, Beko certainly is great. We sell a ton of it. And Miele, those are the two brands we probably sell the most of in that compact space. Mm-hmm. If we get to the full size space, LG dominates the market. With GE, those two brands are one and two there, a two and one, depending on how you look at it. And they're both phenomenal laundry for varying reasons. Going back to that meeting the other day, there were some other stumped questions, which made me think about it with this next question about smart appliances. Yeah. I think was a question someone had asked last week, and it kind of reminded me of the same conversation, which is smart appliances. Is it worth buying smart appliances yet? Fran, what do you think? Let me put it on you.
You know, it's so funny because I feel like we've been talking about Wi-Fi and smart appliances for years and years and years. And it's just one of those things, for whatever reason, in this industry, it hasn't fully taken off. And, a lot of the questions that we ask is, why hasn't it taken off? What is that? You know, really, I think it goes back to, what is that feature, or what features is the consumer truly looking for that's going to make them want to adopt the Wi-Fi technology and whatever they can do with those units? Because, truth be told, probably a lot of customers already and a lot of people watching us, they may already have appliances that have some sort of smart capabilities or app capabilities, Wi-Fi and things like that. They're just never used. So the adoption of it hasn't really gotten there. And, we've seen some really cool things on there, like LG Laundry, for example, with the app. You can download some really cool specialty cycles that you would never get unless you have the app and a Wi-Fi capable set of laundry. You can see exactly how much time's left on the machine. You can see kind of like almost like stats on what you're doing the most for cycles and things like that. The machine will tell you if the dryer vent is clogged and you should get it cleaned, the efficiency of the drying. So there's really a lot of cool things that are there. Maybe there's a number of reasons, and I wonder if it's the features that just don't stick with the customer. It's not really what they're looking for. Or maybe we just don't do a good enough job really explaining it to customers what truly these machines are really capable of.
Yeah, and I think you hit a good point there. And I think the manufacturers own that right along with us. Mm-hmm. As the world moves very quickly and technology moves quickly, I think one thing is that appliances today, to this point, mm-hmm. not everyone has one mesh network, one clean network. So some people use Google and Alexa, and someone over yeah. here uses this platform and that platform. I think when it comes really on one main omni kind of solution that encompasses the whole home, it would be a lot easier. But there are some really great things, and we get asked that a lot by manufacturers of, hey, is Wi-Fi really driving purchasing decisions? For some people, sure. And I don't want to put a label on it because it's not true, but a lot of the younger generation, they absolutely love the technology. I mean, they just expect it to have it, right? The other part for us is these appliances that are Wi-Fi enabled, you know, it's one thing to sell it in the store as a feature, but employing it in the home is a whole nother thing. So we're starting to work with manufacturers on, we think there's a market for Yale to offer that service. We're in kind of think tank mode right now where we would actually come to you as part of your purchase, you know, literally as part of at the time of delivery, we're setting it up on your Wi-Fi network with you, taking you through the app, showing you the features and benefits, because we think about it just like you said, you know, some of them have timers. You can preheat ovens before you get home. You can see how much time is left in your oven or the food you're cooking just by your smartphone. And that's really cool to know. I have 20 minutes to set the table because mm-hmm. that meat is almost done or whatever I'm cooking. Yeah. But, you know, we talk about two of our big partner brands on the mass side of the business being LG and GE. And honestly, this isn't a plug for them. They are industry leading right now. Those two brands are grabbing share at an alarming rate. And they both have kind of a cool thing. GE a bit more further along in terms of with us adopted in home, but I don't even know that we do a great job talking about it. So GE has a thing called Smart HQ, and LG has their own version called ThinkQ. And what this is a proactive service feature where the concept here is if a customer opts into this, we would work in concert with GE. We do it today. And before your appliance breaks, if you were to opt in, GE would get a notice and know that your compressor, hopefully it's not a compressor, but your compressor is about to go, or that your water filter needs to be changed, or that, you know, something's about to put you out of commission, if you will, on the appliance. And it actually sends an alert, and it would look like us calling you ahead of time saying, Mrs. Jones, you're under warranty, or we just wanted to give you a heads up to know that we are noticing that the thermostat on your oven is about to go. GE has already sent us the part. We have it here in hand, and we can come to you this Thursday to fix it. Yeah. I mean, that's where they're trying to get. So we always think of it as feature rich, but how about just service rich? And these two companies are really pushing that. We need to continue to find ways to articulate that to you in home and you in store. But telling you about it and selling you on it's great. We want to get activation in the home. So look to us to continue to talk about some things we might try in the near future on beta tests to really, we need to understand you, the consumer, to figure out how you're buying, why you're buying. Once we put this in, is it good? But this technology is cool. I mean, there's people out there that have GE ovens that have had them for a couple of years now. And all of a sudden, if they were engaged with this Wi-Fi capability, that oven would get pushed a new air fry mode. Mm-hmm. So your existing oven that never had air fry suddenly would have air fry. Yeah. That would be cool to know. Wouldn't you want to know that? Or they just came up with one with the perfect turkey, right? So it's a turkey mode that you could just punch into your oven and you didn't have to buy anything. It just got pushed to you. So we need to get customers engaged in that technology, not afraid of that technology, and be able to better support them and work with the manufacturers to give good feedback on what makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of like, you know, doing software updates on your cell phone. You get these new features without having to buy new hardware. And truly, you know, the technology is going to get better and better. And there's some really great companies like LG and GE and these guys that are really doing a good job innovating that technology. So it's definitely here to stay. And it's, you know, we're still in the infancy, I think, of it in the appliance industry, but it's going to get better and better. And like you said, the service aspect of it is huge. And that's, you know, for someone, that is definitely something that, you know, someone can grasp onto as a really good feature, but a really good kind of proactive feature, like you said.
So I guess there we would continue to say, and you can drop drop notes in the chat session, mm-hmm. or as you think about it on future, just drop it in any time. You know, if you want to marinate and think about what would be a Wi-Fi feature that would be really important to you. We've talked about the service benefit. What would be the user benefit or functional benefit that you might want on the sales side, on your side after you have it? You know, because I think the key thing is we, as the dealer you potentially bought it from and the manufacturer, we want to stay with you through the life of that appliance in a proactive way. Many times as appliance companies or manufacturers, you know, we sell you an appliance, we hope it all goes well, and we don't hear from you until something does not go well. And I think as we evolve cooking technology and service capability, as long as we're continuing to push benefits to you as a consumer over a long period of time of ownership could be really pretty cool. Okay.
Definitely.
So one more, and this is going to be my last question. Then we're going to answer a lot of these questions we have here. I was posed another question. Again, it's just because we're coming off and we like to talk about relevant things. So SKS, Signature Kitchen Suites, one of the top lines, really the highest line of LG, if you will. It's called Signature Kitchen Suites. We have it. We've had it for years. Beautiful product, professional product. It's doing very well, quite honestly. And they really push innovation and first-to-market type features on a lot of things. They have a sous vide pro range that has sous vide capability. Now, they came out with a 48-inch refrigerator. Not out yet. About to release. It can be panel ready, so you can put a wood front on it or stainless steel. But the thing is it has split French doors up top and it's 48 inches wide. Okay. Down below are four draws. Okay. The bottom two are freezer draws. And in those freezers, one of them has two types of ice it'll give you. I don't know the correct word. It might be drinkable ice or more mainstream ice. It's not a true crescent cube or anything. It's more octagonal of a cube, but a drinking cube. That you might chew on or have with, I don't know, I think just regular beverages. And then they have a craft ice ball that is made that's literally an ice ball. And it can be a clear ice ball. And if it's a clear ice ball, it'll produce three every 24 hours. It has a function, and this is already out, and it's refrigerated in a lot of its other mainline refrigerators today. If you want increased production, it can produce up to six ice cubes every 24 hours, but it'll be 70% clear. So you're going to lose a little bit of the clarity. Drinks just as cold, and you get that nice big craft cocktail ice ball. So it has two types of ice. So I guess the question is, that's one feature, or just a comment. The next is, in the four draws, the cool thing they did is the drawer lines, meaning these four draws on the lower portion, or if you will, below counter height. So you could have counters and cabinets on your left and right. Those lines are designed to match up with standard cabinet pull-out cabinets. So really to have a good symmetrical linear look, that was a feature they put out there in this. And then a third key feature was one of the freezer draw, one of the draws, one of the four draws again on below, it's the upper right of the four, has what's called convertible technology, where it can be a fridge or a freezer. And you determine it over the life of the refrigerator. So if you happen to be at a time of year where you're freezing more things, you can press a button, it goes into freezer mode and you can freeze with it. Or it could be a refrigerator if that's just how you tend to use it. And it's off and on. You can toggle in and off as your need is in your home. So the question was asked to us, and we didn't have a great answer, was what would be the main feature that a customer would want out of those three? Is it the two types of ice and the craft ice? Is that a cool feature that if they were to talk about it, that would draw you in? Would it be the design of the cabinets, all the four draws really being clean and linear with your cabinets below and really integrating well? Or would it be this idea of a convertible draw where it could be fridge or freezer? You can put your comments to the right. We just don't know what they are. And, you know, for me, I think ice, I mean, a lot of people like cool ice, but that's me. Fran, what would you have picked?
So, listen, I got to tell you, the craft ice is pretty cool. And it's funny because I was telling them the story that my mother bought this LG fridge, you know, 6 months ago that has the craft ice. Of course, she had no idea what it was when she first got it. And then I kind of told her about it. We went over there at the pool one day. She comes out with a big bowl of big craft ice and was so happy about, look at this fancy ice I have here. So it was pretty cool. And I was like, you know what? This is actually a nice 4th of July cookout, summer party. You're rolling out with some pretty cool ice. It was a cool feature. And one of the things I learned, you know, talking about Wi-Fi, so I learned this the other day from those folks too, is that, you know, that setting that you talked about where you can adjust kind of the clarity and get more ice, you can do that from the refrigerator itself, but it's much easier to even just do that from the app too. So you can do that even from the app on the phone, not even have to do it from the fridge. And those features that you talked about too, like the craft ice and the convertible drawers, you know, of course, you know, on this 48-inch SKS, beautiful fridge, but you also can get a lot of those. They have those on their regular, some of the regular fold-up fridge, the counter-depth refrigerators. Those features are definitely becoming a little bit more mainstream and just freestanding, not mainstream, I wouldn't say that, but definitely more available now in their freestanding refrigerators too. So there, it's definitely a couple of really nice features that you're starting to see out there.
Yeah. I want to go back to a question Vito Pio Poe is asking again, and he's definitely from Europe. Mm-hmm. That's definitely where he lives. So he's asking about Garenge appliances. You cannot buy them in the United States, European market only. He asked about, and he points out the fact of ASCO is their luxury brand. And it's true, but ASCO is a very average brand here in the States to this point in terms of success, because it has a lot of distribution and the service, there's not so many servicers, okay? Their laundry definitely was problematic. It saw more service than Bosch and Miele, the brands out at the time, Beko for sure. So I think ASCO is fine, but it's always kind of fit in a weird space in the market. Because of its multiple layers of distribution, it's kind of more expensive than most of Bosch. We're talking dishwashers now, because they really only make two categories in the U.S. to speak of today, which is compact laundry and dish. In compact laundry, I would buy a Miele. It's almost identical in price to an ASCO, or less, actually. Or I'd buy a Beko or a Bosch. I mean, I'd buy any of those three over an ASCO. It always was known for being very loud in its final spin cycle. Spins around 1,600 RPM. We've sold them, but a lot of complaints of noise. On the dishwasher front, same is true. Miele and Bosch sit below it and slightly above it with, I think, more feature. Its draws tend to be sit fixed, not a lot of adjustability or flexibility in their draws. They have a unique third rack that's kind of in the dead middle of the upper two, kind of doesn't make sense. So I feel like ASCO to this point has been a Swedish company, parent company, trying to ship product into the United States, not truly building for the United States. That is the big issue. Americans have different needs than European, and space and considerations and feature benefit. So I've never seen, there's very few European companies, a lot have tried, but unless they truly adopt to understanding the US market and building for it, that they're very successful. Finally, Blomberg, Grundig, Beko, definitely owned by the Arçelik company. Grundig only bought in Europe for now. Great brand, but only in Europe. Blomberg, Beko, again, Blomberg's really a less expensive entry into the market. We sell Beko. Blomberg's been out for years, didn't really take off. I think some of the quality is slightly lower. I don't think it is. Not a bad product, but it's certainly not what Beko is. And for the small difference in money, a Beko's a no-brainer, better warranty, that type of thing. So. Hopefully that's enough about that. No more European questions today, but hopefully at least told you, you know, the one thing Vito definitely points out is that a lot of this stuff, you know, brands, but we talk about parent companies making for it. It's a very good point. Okay. You know, someone, Peace on Earth, I got to bring up Peace on Earth, has a fridge from 1956,
yeah,
been running continuously since then. How long can I count on it? Oh man, Peace on Earth, let her die yesterday. let her rest. I mean, I can't imagine your electric bill on that. I'm being serious here. I bet you 2 months of running use, especially if it's running continuously, probably less, you could buy a brand new fridge and probably pay off the cost of it in a year. I mean, that is so inefficient from 1950s. It's a cool story that it is. We may want to sell that on eBay or something. That's probably going to go in a museum. But definitely should not be in your home anymore. I would just say you're probably spending a lot of money. You may be attached to it, but it proves the point. they certainly don't make anything like they used to. Good Lord.
You definitely won't be getting anything close to 70 years on any of the new products. That's for
sure.
It's
a GE, by the way. Yeah, for sure. You know, we used to say that about KitchenAid dishwashers. You know, and the new KitchenAid dishwashers certainly aren't the ones from yesteryear, you know. But how many new refrigerators per decade? Good point. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, you know, I'm going to tell you this. A refrigerator bought today, 7 to 10 years life expectancy. Yeah. You have people that get 12. That's on a main line. Certainly there's brands like Sub-Zero and whatnot that'll last considerably longer, but a different price point potentially than the GE that you were talking about, I would imagine, from 1956. So, you know. I just say, you could, with how much that costs to run, you could almost buy a new fridge every year. So you'd get 10 new refrigerators. Even if they lasted a year, you'd probably be even.
Much more energy efficient, for sure.
Yeah.
The next question we got, too, is kind of going back to laundry a little bit. And, you know, we get this question a lot because, you know, over the last few years, you've definitely seen laundry go more into the second floor or additional sets of laundry in the second floor. And so you kind of get the question a lot as far as kind of, you know, is there any specific brand you recommend? Is one quieter than another? Especially, you know, and really front load laundries, I guess either laundry, but, you know, specifically kind of front load laundry where we deal with most. Would you have an answer to that question?
Would I have one or would I answer it?
Exactly.
You know, this is a trick question, right? So it almost is like, hey, is there anyone that makes a quiet ice maker? And the answer is no. Ice is going to drop and ice isn't quiet when it does. Front load laundry, there's so many variables. You know, over the years, brands like Electrolux have made claims to be second floor rated, and I've taken them back a ton of times, you know. And it may not be and we don't sell Electrolux anymore, but we did. And they had a great warranty. And I actually own Electrolux laundry. So it's not to say that it's bad laundry. It's actually good. But the reality of it is, there's so many variables when you think about front-load laundry. Front-load laundry does one thing consistently across all of it. It spins at a minimum of 1,000 RPM. And what does that mean to you? Even most top loaders today are spinning closer to 1,000 RPM. And the reason for that is that high spin removes the water and the dirt better out of the clothes, and it spends less time in your dryer, which actually is where the wear and tear on your clothes comes, the shrinking, the tattering, all the rest of it.
Yeah,
so that really fast spin and bigger drum sizes, because again, we're Americans, we want the biggest thing, right? You could have the potential for vibration and noise. You will. And when it goes into, it's not throughout the whole wash, but when it goes into those few times in a wash of a high spin to extract water, then it fills, then it extracts water, then it fills. When it goes through those high extraction spins at 1,000 RPM, some of the front load, we talked about ASCO earlier, at 1,600. Now, they do tend to be a bit louder in a true reality. But you could hear it, and it all has to do with, on your second floor, what's the joists like, the beams in your ceiling? How big is the span? Do you have LVL beams across it? So it really gets into more the construction of the space. But to say that any brand, one would be quieter than the rest, we'd be taking your money. We'd be lying to you. Yeah. And I would probably tell you, let's talk more about laundry today, because I think you'd be hard pressed to buy anything that's probably, in certain cases, depending on the application, spinning faster and probably could be a little more vibration than what you had before.
Yeah, for sure. Bottom line, you have that anywhere near your bedroom or, you know, adjacent to your room, anything like that. When that's in the spin cycle, you absolutely will hear that. Like you said, I mean, these spin so fast, they're definitely not made to be quiet, for sure. So no question, you'll definitely hear it. I think we have time for another one, too. So induction, you know, kind of a little all over the place today. But induction, this is a good question. You know, they've kind of been smaller sizes, 30. Over the last couple of years, we've seen some 36-inch ranges. Do you think manufacturers will start creating larger induction ranges in the future? And why is it so pricey?
So, you know, there's some that are out there. So as an example, Fisher-Paykel makes a 48-inch Pro range that's dual purpose. It has four burners of gas and the equivalent of four burners of induction in a 48-inch, right? We have seen more and more entries into 36. You know, brands like Wolf make a 30 and a 36. Miele makes Pro, Beko makes Pro induction, 30 inch to this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've seen brands like Le Cornu have a range that has induction at 36. We just saw this week, Thermidor will be launching end of 2023. So if anyone's waiting to hold off on their product, that's the slated date in COVID. But it was beautiful, and it was 36 inches. And it's a pro range with an induction top. So the answer to the short answer is, yes, I think you'll see more and more going to 36. When they get bigger today, they tend to become pro ranges. So the brands like Thermidor, Miele, Wolf, Beko, these are the brands that you'll see go there. But in the 30-inch space, induction is not expensive.
Right.
You may feel that way in COVID because they can only produce so much. And induction takes so many microchips and processors. It actually has a very good service rating too when I say that. So don't think that's more service. But because there's a lot of components to the build, they tend to be building the slightly more expensive models if they can only build one, right? Kind of makes sense, supply and demand. I think as supplies and the world gets back to normal towards the back half of 2023, going into 24, we'll start to see some of those prices come down. And it's not even the prices, but the models that were kind of suspended start to be produced again.
Yeah.
And I think anything else, it's probably like this, you know, and Vito would probably know this. He's been in Europe, you know, induction is a mainstay. It's almost the standard.
Yeah.
So I think when it becomes more of a U.S. standard, and you've seen that with tax legislation being discussed, not quite ironed out yet to the detail of the appliance, where we talk about trying to be more green or greener. I don't know if more green's the right way to say it, but more sustainable and environmentally aware and friendly, that you will see more electric appliances continue to be pushed. And as tax incentives and breaks do, we want to be off the demand of gas, right? For a lot of reasons,
yeah.
But you know, political and just, you know, responsible to get off that resource if we can. And so I think you're going to see more. With more, price will come down. I mean, I'll think back to this, and I don't know how long this took, but, you know, we were joking with my son the other night about tube TVs. And I mean, we've all had those, right?
Yeah.
We'd never buy, you couldn't even buy a tube TV today. And if you did, you'd buy a flat screen TV. And,
mm-hmm.
and wouldn't most people say, unless you're an audiophile and really went crazy and bought the best one, they're disposable. You would never bring it back to a TV person to fix mm-hmm. your TV. You'd throw it out.
Yeah.
That's how inexpensive they've gotten. And at one point they were $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 as a standard price. And now they're $300 and $500 for the biggest TV you've ever seen. So I think like anything, is there's more adoption, more scale, prices will come down.
Yeah. And like you kind of alluded to too, you know, leading up into COVID, we definitely did see that a bit. Prices, no question, came down from where they were, you know, 5-6 years ago. They came way down, kind of leading into it. And for sure, you know, through back orders and only producing the higher end models, as you mentioned. Yeah. I mean, I 100% agree, but that technology is here to stay. It's a great technology, and it's definitely going to be adopted much more for sure.
So we'll finish with this. Our listeners, which we listen to a lot, and Nate Yeager was great to tell us, listen, he would have went with a convertible was the thing that spoke to him. He almost considered GE Cafes, four-door fridge for that reason. So convertibility. But we want to think about this. Your homework, and you have homework, but it is school season. We're back in school
again.
That's right. Let's think about, you know, what would be a key feature in a premium fridge, the convertible drawer, as Nate says, able to be fridge or freezer. Clean linear lines that integrate in with the cabinets nicer, or the ability to have multiple types of ice, okay? Maybe a craft ice cube or the regular. That would be one. So if you can answer that somewhere at some point. And then the next one would be, you know, if you could have a 27 cubic foot French door, counter depth refrigerator, maximizing your floor space in your kitchen, clean linear design, and have just as much storage as you do the big deep ones today, where food tends to get lost in the back,
mm-hmm.
would you not buy it? Okay. So maybe, Shannon, is there an email address that they can leave comments at? Where could they email that to? Shannon's in the background. She makes all the magic happen. You could email us with your answer at help@yaleappliance.com. And we need your help. So it's very fitting that it says it like that.
Definitely. We're looking forward to seeing these answers. Can't wait to see what comes in.
All right. And then we'll tease you next week. We'll put out another episode, and we'll take it from there. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks as always, everyone. Of course, we always appreciate the feedback and the questions, and we're always looking forward to more and seeing kind of your answers to the pop quiz we gave you today. So we'll be back next week. And
feels good to ask questions of some other people. We're on the hot
seat. Right. All the time. Turn the tables a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you all. Take care now. Bye-bye. Bye.